Well, I'm glad you knew the tune because I didn't. I was saying about singing well, but you did sing well. So that's a new tune to me. I know to another one, but indeed, it's the words that matter. And say how lovely as we think of the Lord, indeed, of what He has accomplished and returned, indeed, to the Father's right hand. We're turning this evening to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, and I want to read from verse 22. It is so good to see you here this evening. Say, we know it is the holiday weekend. Ronnie was saying many away in the sunshine. Well, I would like to know where that is, Ronnie, because I would like to go there afterwards. My car's got plenty of fuel in it, and we could certainly make a good go at finding the sunshine. It'll be great to get there. I don't think it'll be Port Rush or Port Stewart, but I think that's indeed where many of the people are. And indeed, we trust that they have a good weekend. Indeed, as all of us. Indeed, over this holiday weekend. Good to be here. Again, thank you for the invitation and for the opportunity. And I say to be able to come and to renew fellowship with you here. It feels so much like home. And in fact, I think I've been here in this church more since the start of the year than I've been in my own church in Kilkeale. I'm usually away every Sunday, and I miss quite a number of the midweeks as well because I'm away speaking in other churches. But as I say, I've been here a lot since the start of the year, but so good to be here and to enjoy the fellowship with you here in Rough Ryland. But Acts chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 22, and as we come to verse 22, the Apostle Peter is speaking. This, of course, is what is known as the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit has come upon the church, and we see the believers speaking in many different known tongues. And some people thought they were people who were looking on from the outside, really. They thought the believers were drunk, but yet it was early in the morning. And say Peter then, on behalf of the church, stood up to speak to the people. And to say then, when we come to verse 22, we break into his sermon, really, to the people who were there that day, where he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We end there at verse 41. We know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. A pastor who is unknown to me has written the following about the evening gospel service in his church one particular night. He says these words, he said, one Sunday evening years ago, I left my home to go to our evening service at the church where I was then pastor. Only myself and my little 8-year-old son was there. No one showed up that Sunday evening as the weather was quite stormy. We waited until about 7:20 and I told my boy that we might as well go home, that the storm must have kept anyone from coming to the service. But he looked up and he said to me, he says, Daddy, I am here. I preached the message that night that the Lord gave me for the service. And at the sermon's end, I did as I always have. I gave an invitation for anyone to come to Christ. That night, my son, the only one present with me, gave his heart and life to the Savior. What if I had missed that service? What if I had gone home that stormy night? My son might still be lost. But God showed us his power and grace that night as 100% of my congregation came to him for salvation. Now, whenever we come to reading the words here that we have in Acts chapter 2, what a great day it was, because as we see here in verse 41, the last verse that we read here, it says that were added that day to the church about 3,000 souls. Now, I don't know, as Peter preached before the people, whether it was 100% of that congregation that came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I believe is most interesting about it all is that Peter saw a great response, no doubt, as that pastor saw a great response as well in terms of his son coming to the Savior. As I say, it was a great response immediately following a sermon on the Lord Jesus Christ. And really this evening, as we come and as we look at the Word of God this evening, really that's what I want our focus to be on. I want our focus here this evening on these verses that we have read, or just looking at a number of the verses. Our focus here this evening is to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sadly, in the present day, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one, or the name that many people don't want to hear about. In fact, we were just sitting and we were in the prayer meeting beforehand, and one of the brothers prayed that indeed that, or about how the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is sadly only used as a swear name so much in the present day. And how sad that is, but oh, tonight that we would understand more of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would understand that his name is a precious name, that his name is the name which is above every other name. And indeed it is the name that at every knee shall bow and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And really as we look at this passage here this evening, in fact that's one of the things that we can see in this passage, that as a result of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in dying upon the cross and in rising from the dead, that indeed that he was Lord on Christ. In fact, in verse 36, Peter said to the people, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. 5 things really I want to just focus on this evening as we consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider him in this passage. The first thing I want you to notice here is what I've simply entitled as Jesus Approved. Jesus approved. This is the first thing we see here in these verses that I've read this evening. Look again at verse 22. Peter speaking to this, obviously this great multitude of people, he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did in him, or did God did, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. You see, this is why this evening we need to pay so much attention to when we hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is why everyone needs to sit up and listen to what the Bible tells us about him. Because, you see, whenever we talk about Jesus Christ, we are talking about no ordinary man. We are talking, as I say, about the one who is the name above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. What we see here is that, in fact, he was a man who was approved by Almighty God. This is not something that we read about anybody else in all the people named and mentioned in the Bible. There are thousands upon thousands of names of people that we see in the Word of God. And yes, many of them loved God. And yes, God spoke highly of many of them. But he didn't speak of any of them in the way that he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Matthew chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17, I was thinking indeed of how there John the Baptist at the River Jordan at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? We read it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But as we consider this evening, I feel we have to ask the question then, well, how did God show his approval? How did he show his approval of his Son to the world back then? Well, we're told the answer here again in verse 22, where Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. It was in fact something that the crowd could not deny. The crowd, as they listened to Peter that day, they knew exactly who Peter was talking about. They were a people who were in Jerusalem. As I say, they were a people who had seen the Lord Jesus Christ walk about all over Israel and Samaria, and as he went to these different places, what is it he did? He raised the dead unto life. He gave the blind their eyesight. He restored their eyesight. He made the lame walk again. We think as well of the many other miracles that he did. We think of the feeding of the 5,000. Well, it's maybe estimated actually there were maybe 15,000 or more. The Word of God, it tells us there were 5,000 men, and then there was the women and the children, so there may have been somewhere between 10 and 15,000. And what is it he did with them? He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We think of all the other miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did. So say this crowd that Peter was talking to, they knew exactly who he was talking about, for they had seen what the Lord Jesus Christ could do. Say this was God showing to the world that indeed that this was his beloved Son. That indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, that as he came into this world, that he was no ordinary man, that he was God come in the flesh. That he was the one who had the power to forgive sins as well. And yet the amazing thing is, whenever we think of all this, is that even at this point in time, many of the people in Israel at that time, they had not surrendered their life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That there were many who were still unsaved, many who observed the miracles, they saw all those different things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, and yet what we see here is that at this very moment in time, they still were without Christ. They still were without hope. And is it not that there are many people in the world today, and they say, well, okay, we don't have Jesus, but if we could just see some miracle or something like that, then I would believe. I think of the words that we have in John chapter 20. This, of course, is Easter Sunday, the resurrection, and well, after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, he appeared to many different people. He appeared to the disciples, and on one occasion, but yet one of the disciples, Thomas, wasn't there. And we read of how Thomas said that, he said in John 20, in verse 25, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And how there are many people almost living like that in the present day. But what is it we go on to read in John chapter 20? "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And then it goes on to say, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have eternal life through his name." And you may be saying tonight, "Oh, if I could only see a miracle, if only I could see God do something in this world." Well, God says, he says, "But these are written," all the miracles of Christ, or many of the miracles of Christ, "these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." God is saying, take note of his word. Listen to what he has written in his word about the Savior. There you have all the evidence that you ever need that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God come in the flesh, and that he came to die upon the cross for all because he is the beloved Son. The one indeed in whom there is no sin. And therefore the one that was able to die on yonder center cross and there die in our stead. And take upon himself the very punishment that we deserved for our sins. As we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Jesus approved. But then also as we look at these verses in Acts chapter 2, we also, I believe, can see Jesus appointed. Jesus approved, but then secondly, we can see Jesus appointed. Look at the first half of verse 23. It says, "Him that is Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." There's one thing that we must understand about God this evening, and it's this. With God, when it comes to the whole plan of salvation with God, there is no such thing as plan B. Before the world was ever created and before this world plunged into spiritual darkness, as Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, as they say, it brought sin upon all of mankind, God had already decided how he would deal with the problem of sin. He knew how he would deal with it all. He already knew that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, that he would come into this world as the Savior of the world. You see, the fall of mankind, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, it didn't catch God off guard. God didn't look down upon it all and say, "My, what has happened down there?" No. God knew exactly what had happened. God knew indeed that man, Adam and Eve, that man and woman would sin against God, and therefore God had decreed that he would send his Son into this world to do what? To die upon the cross for our salvation. And there he would receive the punishment that we deserve for our sins. What is it John 3 and 16 tells us? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5, verse 8 as well. We're thinking about it around the Lord's table this morning. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What a most wonderful God we have this evening. What a most amazing God we have. You see, we're living in a day whenever there's tragedies happens in the world, what is it people do? Even people who say, "Well, I don't really believe in God," and yet whenever there's a tragedy comes into their own life, into their own home, or whenever there's a tragedy happens in the world, what is it many people are doing? Well, they're blaming God for it. They almost, as it were, shake their fists against God. They take it out on him. And they say, "Where is the God of love?" But if they would only see how God has indeed shown his love to the sinner. That indeed that even long before the tragedy happens in the present day, that God is already thinking about us. Because he so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the reality is this, that because of our sin, all that we ever deserve is hell. Because of our sin, all that we deserve is condemnation to be sent out into a lost eternity forever and ever. But yet what we read in the Word of God is that he so loved us that he sent us, he gave his only begotten Son so that he would die on the cross. And indeed, even in the midst of the tragedies and the troubles of life, that there we can find great hope. And we find it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, tonight, if you have never seen God in this way before, that you'd see him in this way tonight. See that indeed that while there's tragedies and there's troubles and there's difficulties in the world, that God has gone before you in a dawn, that he sent his Son to die on the cross. So that even through the darkest times of life, that there you can find great hope. You can find great peace. That you can find, to say, that sense of peace that you long for. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior if you've trusted in him for salvation. Oh, tonight what we see here is Jesus approved. We see Jesus appointed, and then thirdly, we see Jesus apprehended. I trust indeed that this is the right word for this, but what are we talking about here? Well, look at the second half of verse 23. Well, reading all of the verse again, it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Then Peter went on to say this, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What an awful death the Lord Jesus Christ died at the hands of sinful and wicked men. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what he came to suffer, but it still doesn't excuse the actions of those who were responsible for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in their hearts there was no love nor mercy for him. Indeed, what an awful deed it was by Judas Iscariot to have the Son of God handed over to the authorities after betraying him a few days earlier on what is now called Palm Sunday. Is it not that the crowd of people, they were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were putting the palm branches down on the ground, and there they were praising him. There they were worshipping him as he rode on the donkey into Jerusalem. What a day of triumph, of glory it was. But yet, what is it? Only a few days later, they were shouting out, away with him, crucify him. How we know it wasn't just another crucifixion. Because there what they did was they nailed the Lord to the cross, unlike others who were crucified by being tied to the cross. Oh, as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think of that pathway up onto the center cross, we think of the pain. We think of the suffering. We think of the agony. We think of the shame. See, time doesn't allow us to go into it this evening to contemplate what he had to suffer. I think again of what he said at the Lord's table this morning. Isaiah 52 verse 14. His visage was so marred more than any man. That simply means he was unrecognizable. Such was the hatred of the people towards him. Such was the cruelty that the soldiers and others did to him. To say whenever he went up onto that cross. If you were somebody and you knew the Lord Jesus Christ from the days when he grew up in Nazareth, from the days when he did his ministry around Galilee and around Samaria and all these different places, that if you had been coming through Jerusalem on that crucifixion morning and there you looked up on the cross and you saw the center cross, there you wouldn't even have recognized him. Oh, tonight that we would see what he did for us. See that indeed that as he went all that way up onto the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Why did he do all of this? Well, it was because, you see, God demanded a perfect sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only hope that the world ever had. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived that perfect, sinless life as he lived in this world. And that's why he was the only hope that the world ever had. And praise God that he steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. How he knew the suffering, he knew the agony, he knew the pain, he knew the shame. But yet what is it he did? He surrendered himself unto the Father's will. Because as we often hear it in the song, it says this, that when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. You see, there was no other way back to God for us. And oh, tonight how we give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ that he died upon that cross. Because in dying upon the cross, he opened up the life gate that all may go in. That indeed that I may go in, that you may go in. Because Jesus himself said, John 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that is no man, woman, boy, or girl, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. Say, he's the only way. Oh, tonight the world's religions will say, all ways lead unto God. No. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we make much of Jesus Christ. Indeed, that's why we make everything of him. Because he is our only hope, our only plea. And oh, tonight it's only if you come by him, by faith to the foot of the old rugged cross, that you can be guaranteed of a home in heaven one day. We see here Jesus approved, Jesus appointed, Jesus apprehended. And then what we see fourthly is Jesus appeared. This is talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you jump down to verse 32, Peter said, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. I think indeed also of other verses of Scripture. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8, where the Apostle Paul tells us that indeed that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he appeared to the people, that he showed to the people that he is alive. Paul said to the Corinthians, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James. Then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. People say, how do we know that Christ is risen? Well, we know he is risen from the dead because there are many who witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection body. Was it also, we read in Peter's sermon here in Acts 2:24, he says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding off it. Jesus Christ was born to die, but he died to rise again from the dead. Why? Because death could not hold him. The wonderful message concerning the Savior tonight is that he is now alive and that he lives in the power of an endless life. He shall never die again. He's risen from the dead for time and for all of eternity. And what he is able to do tonight is this, he's able to save. He's able to save all who come unto God by him. Oh, tonight, we were saying this morning, I make no apology for repeating it again. But tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, where is he? He's seated at the Father's right hand. And why is he there? Well, one of the reasons is to save sinners from their sin. As I said this morning, what a testimony it is to his saving work. Many of us here tonight have indeed, as it is with many others, how we look back in our life, we look back to that day when we got saved. But what is it happened on that day when we got saved? The burden of our sin, it rolled away. Oh, how for some it maybe was weeks, for some maybe it was months. And there they were under the conviction of sin. How they sat in gospel meetings and they felt troubled within their soul. How perhaps maybe they were at home at night time and as they put their head down in the pillow, they couldn't get to sleep. They felt the conviction of sin. Maybe they didn't realize all that was going on. But yet when by faith they came to the foot of the old rugged cross, oh, what happened on that day? The burden of their sin was rolled away. Joy came into their heart. Joy came into their soul. Why? Because the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 7 and verse 25 that He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Oh, tonight He's living at the Father's right hand. And tonight if you come and you call out to Him for salvation, oh, the wonderful news is this: the burden of your sin, it'll be rolled away. You'll experience a joy that you've never experienced before. What is it I said at the start of the meeting? It's quoting from Psalm 40, that indeed the Lord hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Oh, for many of us, if not for all of us, before we were saved, we'd know we didn't want to sing the songs of God. We wanted to sing the songs of the world. We didn't want to be sitting in praise meetings and praise services. We didn't want to be found in the house of God. How at times we thought all of this singing of the hymns and all that, it was boring and we couldn't wait till we get out through the door. But because the risen Savior heard us when we called out to Him for salvation, oh, praise God, He transformed our lives. He put that new song in our heart, even praise unto God. And what a joy and what a privilege it is to be saved, to be able to lift up our voices to Him in praise and in worship and in adoration. It's all because He died and He rose again from the dead and He lifted us up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Time is gone. Just one more and finish quickly. Jesus approved. We see Jesus appointed. Jesus apprehended. Jesus appeared. And then what we see finally is this: Jesus applied. Jesus applied. Look at verse 37. 37 to 41 it says, "Now, when they heard this," Peter's been preaching about the Savior who died on the cross, the one who indeed has risen from the dead. It says, "Now when they heard this," this is the whole crowd that is standing around them, 3,000 at least were there. It says they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus." For the King James uses the word "for the remission of sins," but it's actually the Greek is better rendered "because of the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And then what lovely words we have in verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." That was the evidence. That's what baptism is. It doesn't save us, but it's the evidence. It's shown to the world that we've been saved. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A Christian evangelist and a soap maker went for a walk together one day whenever the evangelist was conducting a gospel mission in the town that the soap maker was from. The soap maker, he had some negative things to say about Christianity. Whenever they were out for the walk, he said to the evangelist, he says, "What good is Christianity?" He says, "Just look around you." He says, "And what do you see? You see trouble, you see misery, you see wars." He says, "Even after all these years and years of preaching and teaching about goodness, truth and peace, say that's all you ever see." He says, "What good is Christianity with all its prayers and sermons if all this evil still exists?" The evangelist, he kept quiet as they continued on their walk. Then they noticed a child that was playing in the mud. The child was just filthy with dirt and mud. We know that indeed is something that the children love to do. But the evangelist, he said to the soap maker, he said to him, he says, "Look at that child. He says, now you say that soap makes people clean, but what good is it? With all the soap in the world, this child is still dirty. What good is soap after all? The soap maker, he immediately answered him. He said, but sir, soap can't do this job if it's not applied. That's exactly right, said the evangelist. And so it is with Christianity. It will not accomplish anything unless people apply it. Tonight, have you applied it? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to save you, to cleanse you from all sin? 1 John 1 and verse 7, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But what you must see tonight is that for your life to be transformed, it's not a case of you saying, well, I'm going to go from here and try and live a better life. It's not a case of you going from here and saying, I'm going to stop going to the pub, or I'm going to stop being a bad husband, wife, employee. It's not going from here and saying, I'm going to give up the gambling. What it is coming to the foot of the old rugged cross and calling upon the name that is above every other name. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Oh, tonight will you come by faith to the foot of the old rugged cross, and there tonight receive Christ as your Saviour. That indeed the truth of the gospel is applied to your heart, that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to come into your life, able to transform your life, make you into a new creation. The Word of God says, behold, I make all things new. Indeed, that's what he's able to do in your heart and life tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people said to Peter, what shall we do? He said, repent. And that's tonight what you must do. What does that mean? Turn from your sin. In other words, surrender your life to Christ. Because he's the one who is righteous, the one who is holy, and be depending on him for salvation. Oh, tonight may you do so. If never have you done it before. And tonight that you're able to go home with a new joy in your heart and the forgiveness of sins. We're going to finish by singing 334. We'll sing just verses 1 and 4. Verses 1 and 4 of 334. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Oh, tonight, is that your cry? Indeed, crying out to the Lord to save you. Even do it in the singing of these words, to say the Lord will hear your cry and will save you from your sin tonight. 334, the first and last verses as we stand to sing. Thank you. Let's all stand.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Thank you again for your attendance this evening, for your attention as well. God, speaking to your heart. You're concerned about salvation. Please speak to a trusted Christian friend or to myself. We'll not be making an appeal here this evening. Do please speak to us, or tonight if you've called upon him, even during the singing of this hymn, please let it be known to us. We'd love to help you as you start out on the Christian life. Father in heaven, thank you for your presence with us here this evening, for your word. Thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he did for us upon the place called Calvary, that he is risen from the dead, and tonight that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto thee by him. May tonight this be a night when he is saving, as precious souls call upon him for salvation. Bless your word to every heart, and part us now with your blessing in your fear. And we ask it all in our Savior's precious name. Amen and amen.